A reading today is from James chapter 1, commencing verse 19 through to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Look, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God.
The passage that we have before us is really pushing this point of that we are a listening community. There's something very absurd about the idea that you wouldn't be able to remember what it is that you look like. I can understand a selective memory. A selective memory is one that forgets how many grey hairs that I have on my head, or the wrinkles, or the age spots. A selective memory might overestimate my attractiveness, underestimate other features. But give or take some small room for exaggeration or minimization, the fundamental idea that I might forget what I look like after looking at myself in the mirror only this morning is absurd, isn't it? Absolutely absurd. And this is James' point here. It's absurd that a person might hear God's word and not obey it. So James 1, if you've got it in front of you, verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like somebody who looks at their face in the mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and forgets what they've looked like. It's absurd. Now understand what James is not saying here. He's not talking about those who reject Christianity outright. He's not talking about unbelievers or people that aren't engaged with the things of God's word. He's talking about the believing community. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the danger of us who get access to the Bible, us who hear lots of sermons, who go to Bible studies, who read passage after passage, and yet we are unchanged. And his point is simple in this passage. We need to learn to be good listeners. Now, I don't know how you connected to the video that was just shown, but sometimes it's hard to be a good listener, isn't it? The type of listening that James envisions here is a listening that results in action, verse 22. And in verse 25, a type of listening that looks like this: the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. This is not passive listening. This is active listening. Have you heard those two ideas distinguished before? Active and passive listening. Over the years, I have usually with Nat, but sometimes by myself, worked with couples who have come to us either for pre-marriage preparation or whatever the opposite of that is, post-marriage or during marriage, not counselling but just working through some things. And the exercise that we always use, because we're very limited in our skill set, is active listening. What is active listening? Active listening is not when you're distracted with your phone. It's not like what happens in my house when one of my children stops using the word dad and starts saying Scott because I'm not listening, because I'm distracted. Active listening is when you turn your attention to another. When you look into their eyes, whose eyes will I look into? When I give non-verbal and verbal engagement with the person to show that I'm not just taking in their words, but I'm taking in their experience. I'm putting myself in their shoes. I'm engaging with who they are as a person and what they're feeling, not what they're saying, just what they're saying. This is what active listening is. And so we do a very simple exercise with couples over the years where we get them to turn to each other. It's a novel thing for some. And we get them to talk to each other. And the rule is that the person's not allowed to respond, because the type of listening we often do is that we're responding to the person even before they're finished, if not verbally, in your mind. You're coming up with the next argument or the next idea to put to them. And we say, you're not allowed to respond until you have listened, experienced, embodied, and then you summarise what they've said to you back to them. Are you following what I'm saying? All right? This is very basic. I mean, but it's a new idea, and it's so new that most people can't do it, even when you put the structure in place. Because we're so busy talking all the time. We're so busy arguing all the time. And we're not entering into the experience of another person and really hearing what they're saying. This is the type of listening which we ought to be and do as a Christian community. This is what James is envisioning here. Active listening to engage with the promises of God for us in the Lord Jesus. To not only read or listen to God's word spoken, but to experience God speaking to us. To put ourselves in the situation, to have a conversation. This is listening. Now, why does James want us to do it? Why does the Bible encourage this? Because it's worth listening to God. Christianity makes the claim that by listening, you can be rescued. You can be saved. So in James 1, verse 21, it says, humbly, we'll come back to that word later, humbly, accept the word, or the message, might be another way of saying that, the message that was planted in you, which can do what? Save you, rescue you. It's worth listening to. Now, what is it that you and I need rescuing from? And we often think about the world to come as evangelical Christian people. So we think about, I need rescuing from judgment. I need rescuing from hell. In that video, did you hear all the big ideas, the big questions that people were wrestling with? I need eternal security. But James is actually, yes, that's true, but James is actually speaking about the here and now. His letter is about the here and now, not just the world to come. Genuine religion, James will say, is about changing in the here and now. And so I think that James has got a here and now rescue in mind, as well as a in the world to come rescue in mind. And what is it that you and I need rescuing from? Verse 20, we need rescuing from our anger. We need rescuing, verse 21, from our immorality. Verse 26, we need rescuing from our tongues. God's word is worth listening to because you and I need rescuing, not just from judgment in the world to come, but from ourselves in the world that we live in. We are captive. We are enslaved. This is what Jesus will say in John's Gospel. He who sins is enslaved to it. Another way of looking at rescue is to consider when you were rescued from something, what you were rescued into. And a word for that might be freedom. Now, I use that word because James uses the word. Have a look at verse 25. Whoever looks intently, active listening, engages, not just listens or reads, but engages with the experience of the gospel of God for you. Whoever looks intently in that way at the perfect law, that gives what? Freedom. This is the opposite of enslavement. This is what the rescue of active listening results in. Freedom. Now, most people, I don't think, believe that. Most people have the idea that Christianity is the opposite of freedom. If you ask the average person in Wagga, does Christianity bring you freedom? They would say, no, I don't want to become a Christian because I won't get to live a free life. I'll have to do what somebody else says. I'll have to listen to God. And so for them, freedom is the absence of any restrictions, isn't it? Freedom is the absence of any rules. But the Bible says, and I actually think human experience says, that that isn't freedom, that's anarchy. Freedom, and this is a philosophical discussion, but freedom is finding the perfect type of restrictions that enable you to flourish as a human being. You want to know why you don't feel free? Even though you are free? Because you're enslaved to things that you need to be free from. And you need to find the perfect law of Christ to govern your life so that you can truly flourish as a human being. When I lay down boundaries for our children in our home, you know, when Nathie wants to, you know, play yet another game of Donkey Kong on the Wii, which he's very good at, we've got to think to ourselves, is this freedom that looks like freedom going to cause him to flourish? Or do we have to limit his freedom in some way so that not only is he an expert in Donkey Kong, that he actually has a life beyond Donkey Kong, right? You see how boundaries work? You see how restrictions work? They actually give you freedom to thrive in your humanity. This is how relationships work. This is how marriages work. You don't kind of say, I'm free to do whatever I want. You'll destroy yourself and the other. Last week I was away, and what I love doing when I go on holidays is fishing. Fishing. Who did you know that of me? I'm very bad at it. Very bad. In fact, I'm so bad that I probably spent about 5 or 6 hours over the week and I caught one small fish. All right? Nathie was there. He can testify it. I did catch it. I have a photo of it. I'm sorry I didn't get organised enough to put it up on the screen. It was very small. Now, that fish, if it said, I want to be free to live wherever I want to, how would its freedom go if it stayed on the wharf where I was or on the beach where Nathie started playing with it? Where did it find its truest freedom? In the restriction of water. Outside of water, with complete freedom, brings death. And so when James here says that looking to Jesus Christ, intently listening to his promises, engaging with him, experiencing, it sounds restrictive, but it's the perfect freedom. It's the perfect conditions for you to thrive. If your life is in chaos, if your life is out of control, if you are captive to your tongue, to your anger, to immorality, you need the freedom of the law of Christ in your life. It will bring freedom for you. Your active listening of God will bring you into an experience, not a religion, but a living relationship of connection and communion and friendship with God, so that he will mean so much more to you than all the things that enslave you. They'll become more important, more life-giving than the things which you think are giving you life. And it will not only bring freedom to you, it will bring freedom to others who are in a relationship with you. If you notice, this little passage or paragraph in James is, is about true Christianity resulting in love towards others. The widow, the orphan, the other person. It will bring freedom. If you bring yourself under the law of Christ, freedom not just to you personally, but freedom to others because of how you will relate to them. So how are you and I this morning going to be better listeners of God's word? I've got three things, very quick things. You don't believe me, but they're very quick. Your attitude, your active listening, and your putting into practice. They are three things which we need to do this morning to be better listeners of God's word. Attitude. Humbly. I said I was going to come back to that word. Humbly accept the word that is planted in you. So you can be a reader or a listener of God's word, and if you don't have humility, you'll sit in judgment over it. This is the critique that Jesus had of the religious people of his day. They were great listeners of God's word. They were great readers of God's word. They knew it better than anybody. And yet they didn't come to it with humility, with a desire to be changed and formed and shaped. Lord, what is it that you want? How can I understand your promises better? How can I live the more freer life? We need to come with humility. We need to come with active listening. We need to engage with God's word in a serious way. We need to open up our Bibles. We need to read, but in a way that we experience. For me personally, a journal. So I can write down the key verse that hits me, or a reflection about how to put it into practice. I think to be active listeners, because God has made us to be relational people, we need to be with other people in our listening, don't we? Isn't it when you're with others, you ask questions, you listen to questions, you think about things that you never would have thought about by yourself. God's designed us to be a community of people who are actively listening, not just me and God. Attitude, active listening, and I don't have a third A for you, putting it into practice. We need to do it. By doing it, even though sometimes you don't want to, it shapes your character. It will inform who you are and will shape your desires. I find it, you know, you might say, I find it hard to read the Bible. But if you do it, it will feed in you habits that will feed desire and hunger to read God's word. It's not like you sit around waiting for the desire to listen to God. You start doing it. You start putting it into practice. You start practicing hospitality. You start caring for widows. You start it. And you'll find that this will inform and grow your desires and your heart for others and for listening to God's word. Let me pray for us that we might be a listening community. Father, we want to thank you that the perfect law of Christ, the promises of God for us in the gospel, gives us true freedom. And so we pray, Father, that you would work deep repentance in us this morning, that you would save us, that you would rescue us, not only in the world to come, but in this world from ourselves. Pray that you would teach us to be active listeners. And as we listen to you, we would listen to others. That you would form us in your image. And that we would be people that put into practice your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.